I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 338, as Kevin gives
me. Why didn't he just say it at that point?
He doesn't want to steal my thunder. I don't say, and that's the box office,
that's true,
Tom.
You don't. Yeah, that's
that would
good
be
point. That would be
very
inappropriate.
Very self-indulgent. Very Bob Dole-esque to refer to myself in the third person.
I don't go around making chicken noises.
There's, there's a reference for the kids.
Yes.
Bob Dole.
Bob Dole. Yeah. So we got a full house. It's like old times. Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Blake.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I'm sorry, but my headphones.
My trick ear.
My trick ear. My trick ear. Is that Blake?
Yeah, I've come from a faraway place.
It's kind of an annual thing.
Yeah. So there we go. So
this is like Fuller House.
Yeah. Which one am I?
The Kimmy.
I'll take that. I like Kimmy.
Kimmy Gibbler.
She got a rough deal, man.
What do you mean?
They were really to her.
All of them,
show.
Even her quote unquote friend.
Like you go back and watch that show because like the kids
she's
watch
clearly
it,
autistic,
I mean, and I'm like, my God, these we're supposed to like these people, and they're like really mean.
All of them are awful to Kimmy Gibbler.
Oh, like 10-year-old
yeah, she's
girl.
A kid.
Yeah, she's 10. Dial it down, Danny Tanner.
Yeah, no. So like, Katie started watching those all from season one, and so I've seen some of these clips, and Danny is like, as an adult, he is straight up mean to her.
Yeah,
he is like the offhand remarks. It isn't even like, oh, let me ignore you. It's like burns. Like
right.
He is just like making fun of her, and it's like, I mean, I laughed, but it's yeah. Like that's kind of weird.
Kimmy goes home to her one room apartment. Like that's her life. Like the Tanner's house is perfect, but when she goes home, it's like, you know, a single bed apartment with her alcoholic father.
That's what we need. We need kind of like that. What was it, Grendel? Where it was?
Yeah. Oh, it was a story from the monster's
from the
point
monster's
of, yeah,
point
right,
of
right,
view.
Right.
Like we should do that for Kimmy.
For oh, you Kimmy. Really were talking about Beowulf.
Yeah,
I was like
Gibbler. Yeah. We'd call it Gibbler.
We should, I'm telling you, that's exactly how I imagine it though. Because she's always trying to go to the Fuller House or
because
whatever.
That house is awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. It's got a recording studio in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
What more do you want?
Does she live there in the new show?
Sounds like my house.
I think she does live with CJ, yeah.
Yeah, she lives in the attic now, doesn't she?
I haven't ever seen an episode,
worse.
Honestly.
She chained to something?
Well, no, remember Uncle Jesse's attic? Like, cool
oh,
attic?
He did have, like, the bed was, like, in the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, right. He had, like, a Fonzie attic.
He did, yeah. That's a big house for all those people.
Dan has nothing to add to this.
Did you ever watch Full House?
No.
Oh, all right.
No. You got to remember, we were, like,
oh, that's true.
We were, like, 30 when
I'm questioning
yeah.
Tom.
It seeped into my consciousness. It just...
I'm like, what?
You know, he gives, so he's like...
No Perfect Strangers either?
No.
No,
I mean, watched,
Perfect
like,
Strangers.
No, I actually
don't be
intentionally
ridiculous.
Avoided all of that pablum.
I watched, like, the first season, two seasons of Perfect Strangers.
I'm surprised because, that hasn't come back yet.
Because of...
Perfect-er Strangers?
Because what's-his-face... had been in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, he was.
And it was basically a version of that character.
Balky.
Yeah, Balky was basically a version of...
Yeah, that one was, like, at least in my, like,
line of sight.
Right.
But otherwise, like that Urkel crap, and I was just like,
I didn't do Urkel.
TGIF.
Oh, see,
I watched all of it.
Yeah, I never.
Dinosaurs, Family Matters.
Yep.
I was out.
Yeah.
I watched Dinosaurs a little bit.
Dinosaurs was good. You guys were
giant.
I was out.
Not the mama.
Not the mama. That's right.
I didn't watch Full House, but Family Matters and.
You know, Dinosaurs has like the most depressing ending ever.
Oh, it does.
Does it have an ending?
Do they all die?
They all die, right?
They all die in a meteor.
Meteor. I mean, it ends like Dinosaurs end. Yeah, it's the same.
I'm waiting for the crossover of Perfect Stranger Things.
Well, they did that on Jimmy Kimmel.
Did they?
They did that. Where
they did.
Yeah.
Oh,
where it was Perfect Stranger Things.
That's hilarious.
They brought back
Marklin Baker.
Marklin Baker, and I'm totally blanking on that dude's name.
Balky.
Yeah.
Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Well, if you haven't guessed it, we're talking TGIF.
It's a TGIF episode. I know it said Star Wars in the description, but how do you not?
Yeah, I don't know.
Fall in love with.
I'm
going to
go get some coffee. Tell me when you start talking about Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
Okay. Now, I can do that.
Well, that's on part two.
So, real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You can also join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week: Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brad Hyen, Librarian Cynthia, Jason Weesey, Chris James, Griffin Fox Smith, Tom Comiskey, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Musings of a Cosplay Witch. They're back.
Hey!
Oh.
They also wrecked their car.
Oh.
I saw that on the Facebook. I didn't play a part. No.
I didn't slash our tires or anything.
Yeah. Don't let your brakes go soft.
Brent Smith and Chris Sanders. So thank you very much, everybody, for sharing the
show. I think Dan owes some League of Show Shares songs from last week.
We do, but I don't have that list.
Yeah,
that's okay. That's weird.
I would appreciate that list in advance, please.
That's weird that I took notes on every name that was a new League of Show Share last week.
Well, that's good, because I saved over them. I just use the same thing every week.
And just the same
new type. Right.
So Dylan Lang and Christine Standerford Hugh.
I will have to get back to you on that.
They were so excited to debut in a Star Wars episode.
Yeah.
Well, I'll message you them, and if you decide to come up with a, inspiration.
So, so anyway, there are your shameless plugs. The movie of the week, of course, is
Rock Dog.
Rock Dog.
Ferdinand.
Yeah, do we have a review? Yeah. I mean,
is Star Wars. And so we skipped a box office report so we should so we could talk about the movie, but should we discuss briefly how much money it made?
Yeah, I think so.
So, yes, I would like to know what the final total was.
So my guess was 200.
How many Ferdinands was it?
Yeah.
My guess was 200 million. So The Force Awakens made, I think, 250 million opening weekend. But this
you thought this would be less than Force Awakens?
Well, yeah, it's trending that way.
If you wait, I'll tell you why.
All right.
But the Thursday night screening for Force Awakens was 57 million, and this Thursday night was 45 million.
Which is still the second highest Thursday screening of all time.
But, you know, it's a sequel to obviously a huge movie, and it went down by 12 million just on the Thursday night. And the word of mouth from fans is pretty much split down the middle, 50-50, like it, don't like it. So I was saying it would probably make around 200, was my guess.
Yeah, excuse me. And it looks like it's, they still don't know, because this movie obviously overperforms on Sunday. Their models don't always work. So they're saying somewhere between 200 and 229, but right now they got it about 210.
Wow.
210, 220.
I was thinking at least
whatever it takes.
Yeah, I thought 250 for sure. That's what I mean. But,
But so they're saying 210, and that's still a boatload of money.
Yes.
Just to put it in perspective, opening weekend, it's made what Justice League has made for the entirety of its run. Justice League right now is at like 219.
Good.
So.
Good.
In 48 hours, 36 hours, whatever.
Star Wars is like, nah.
Star Wars made what Justice League made
in five weeks.
And I have to say, that has to be so defeating. And it's, I mean, you're up against Star Wars, which is a huge property, but your Justice League, like, that's the property that can compete with Star Wars if you're going to do it.
Can it?
No, it can. It should be able
it
to.
It should be able to.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So
theoretically, at one point in time, probably in the fallow period of the 80s and 90s, there was a time when Justice League would have prevailed. But
yes.
No.
Not anymore.
But, I mean, not this movie, but a better Justice League should be $500 million
domestic. At least be competitive.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just crazy to
think. If you look like Brad Pitt and you can't get laid, there's something wrong with you on the inside.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, that's, you're fundamentally
there's
flawed as a human being. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Justice League is a Brad Pitt that can't get laid.
Yeah, that's tough for Justice League, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Womp, womp. So good. I mean, I hope it fails. I don't know. I think they said that it made a bunch of money.
Well, of course.
And that's
got the highest opening in China of all time. So it's going to make a ton of money internationally, but it should have made way more domestically.
Well,
that's just a mess.
And at some point, those people, those CEOs, they want to go to cocktail parties and not get laughed at.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. I don't want it to fail. I want a good Batman movie. I want a good Justice League movie. In the scheme of things, I don't want a Justice League movie to fail. I would like this one to fail so we can reboot and get something else. Like, I want this version to fail miserably so they're forced to do something different.
It's how I felt in the last, like, 2-3 years of my marriage.
You just wanted to reboot?
I just wanted it to completely fail so I could start over
restart
with something that would work better. And boy, did I ever get what I wished for.
Congratulations.
Yes. Boy.
Because that's the only thing I worry about with them, which they need to, but what's going to happen is they're going to reboot and they're going to jump right back into it. And I think that's a mistake. They need to wait like 5 years, let it die down.
They don't have the
do
patience.
Some actual
well, here's
planning.
Here's what's going to happen is they're going to wait, and then Disney's going to put out an X-Men movie and a Fantastic Four movie, and they're like, oh, by the way, Avengers 5 is X-Men versus Avengers. And now DC is going to be like, they're going to freak out.
We need
out.
Watchmen versus Justice League.
What I'm afraid of. It's like they're going to get Marvel's going to get their ducks in a row, which they've already done. We've got 3 X-Men movies that are coming out next year. Are they all next year? So Deadpool 2, X-Men, Dark Phoenix, and New Mutants.
Yeah.
Like, those are all next year. I don't think we're going to see a Marvel X-Men movie until 2020.
So they say this deal is going to take a year to go through. They're not even going to be able to make Fox things for a year.
I think you'll get an announcement of movies in 2019. You'll get something in 2020. You might get a Fantastic Four movie in between there.
Are any of those movies still in production?
No, I think
they're all post-production.
New Mutants.
Dark Phoenix. No, New Mutants I think is done.
Really?
Yeah. Dark Phoenix is long
done. I was just wondering if they could start to like just
inch their way in a little bit.
In things.
Maybe.
They
might be able
towards.
To. I mean, we've got... Well, I think they're only doing 2 movies next year. So Black Panther and Avengers 3 are the only Marvel movies next year. And then...
No, Ant-Man 2.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man, I always forget about that one. Yeah. Ant-Man and Wasp.
But that will be post-Infinity
War,
right?
Because
that's the first of 4?
I don't know, because she's in Infinity War, I think.
Yeah. She can be Infinity War.
I guess it bodes well for her.
I guess it does. And him.
That's true. They made it.
So enough of this.
Yeah, sorry.
Star Wars.
Yeah, so here we go. Like, we're... in some of our stores... we're not doing all that.
Hang on. Little Diddy... about Dylan Christine, joint league show of shares. That's all I got.
Oh, well, there it is.
Thank you.
So we should say, obviously, you know this from the jump. We've done 300-plus episodes of this. There will be spoilers. I know I will give the internet credit. I was not spoiled going into this movie, and I saw it as early as possible, so I wouldn't be spoiled. But spoilers are abound. Be warned.
You made it till Thursday night.
I made it till Thursday night.
Like, not even 7, like 10, right?
Yeah, I saw
it. You had all those people that saw it at 6 and 7.
There were people in the theater. So when we saw The Force Awakens, I saw it first. I saw it with my wife again later that day. And I didn't tell her anything. And she got spoiled somebody spoiled it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, she went to go pee. And she came back and she was like, I know what happened.
Seriously.
I was like, what do you know?
They need to start having 2 sets of bathrooms.
Yeah, spoiler bathroom.
Bathrooms for people who just got out of the movie and bathrooms for people waiting to go.
Right.
Seriously.
Transgender bathrooms. Yeah. Spoiler-free bathrooms.
The 10 o'clock show is the riskiest show you can go to because everyone's all amped up. They just saw it and they're talking about it. Like that, you really have to put headphones on or something.
Yeah,
that's
just hope for the best.
The worst time. Yeah.
I was on a Facebook moratorium for like a few days.
I don't blame you. No. So this one, we start off for some of our characters, we pick up immediately where we left them off in The Force Awakens. So the Rey's story basically picks up exactly where we see her at the end of Force Awakens, which was a great scene. In our main sequence is, I think it's Poe and the Rebellion.
Resistance.
I
apologize.
Blake's here to fact check.
I know, yeah. So they're involved in a dogfight, basically. I'm trying to think. What were they?
Well, let's.
It's a dreadnought.
Yeah, that's what it was.
We should start off with the jokes, because that's what opens this movie, is a lot of jokes.
There are a lot of jokes, and some of them work.
I think all of them work. Not all of them fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it's really where I think in The Force Awakens, the jokes worked. Like they worked, like they were there to be funny, and like they worked it naturally into.
And I think, yeah, they were like understated. This is what Thor felt like to me. We're like, Thor I really liked, but sometimes the jokes were a little bit like, okay, we don't need a joke every right. 5 seconds. Like this movie is, Star Wars can be lighthearted and comedic, but it doesn't, it's not a comedy.
No.
And so I was thrown off when General Hux and Poe were doing back and forth with the thing. I'm like, that's how you're starting the movie?
I will say,
that's kind of how Poe started in Force Awakens.
Yeah, he was a smart ass, and you talk, I talk.
Off with,
yeah, I get it, but this was the first dialogue.
See, I think this one worked a lot better, and it fit a lot better than some of the other jokes in the movie. I had no problem with this one.
See, to me, these were the jokes that worked the least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
I'm kind of the same
way. I agree. I thought it was totally off.
So, yeah, so he's... We know that this giant ship that we haven't seen before, which is awesome looking, has the resistance dead to rights. So Poe kind of sacrifices himself to give the resistance more time to get away. So he hails the dreadnought, and they are going back and forth, which is like, hey, can I talk to General Hux? And he's like, yes, this is me. And he's like, yeah, I can't hear
you. You mean not Dennis Leary?
Yeah. Yeah, he looked rougher and rougher as this movie went on.
Well,
because life was getting rougher.
I guess that's true, yeah. You know who his dad is, right?
Yeah. Who's dad?
Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan Gleeson? Gleeson. Mad-Eye Moody?
I did not know that. Yeah.
He's Domino Gleeson.
Well, I know his name, but I didn't realize he was Brendan Gleeson's son.
Yeah.
He's Bill. I mean, he looks a little little rough. He's going to look
more
like his dad.
Brendan Gleeson, by the time he gets to his dad's age, it's like, oh, no, that's what happens.
See how that's
genetics are a hell of a thing.
Great actor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, and he's been in some massive stuff. Yeah. Like, that dude has gotten, he's got kind of got like that Jeff Goldblum thing where he's just in big movies. And you're just like, oh, yeah, that guy.
He's in so many movies.
I know. So he buys, there's this, I mean, it has to be like a 5 minute spot of these jokes of them going back and forth.
It just feels like
them going back and forth.
Poe's working on his tight five.
Yeah.
He's trying to take off their surface cannons because he wants the bombers to come in and take out the ship. And so if you have all those surface cannons, they're going to blow up the slow bombers before they can drop the payload.
Yeah.
And so that's what he's trying to do, is go in there and take all those out.
In the process, though, he is basically sacrificing this fleet.
All his bombers.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Why are the bombers so slow? You have like,
that's a good question.
You know why? Because it's convenient for this movie.
It fits the story.
I'm telling you, that is my number one thing, and we'll get into it as we go. And I thought the movie was entertaining. I've seen it twice now, but the script by Rian Johnson, I'm so disappointed because he writes in so many conveniences to where things, they make stupid decisions or things don't make sense, and then it always pays off. Like the thing that doesn't make sense always pays off, and that's just lazy writing to me.
I don't know about that. It definitely has a different tone than Force Awakens. Like,
which
that
is
for sure. Which is fine. Like, I think Empire is a different movie than A New Hope, which is, I think that's the way it should be.
Well, we'll get into it. Right. I'm just setting up that this is just one of many things that doesn't make sense to me. And then, oh, there's a reason, because it has to have this dramatic scene where they all blow up. And there's, you know, there's a lot of that in this movie, which I think for someone of Rian Johnson's caliber of writing, Looper and Brick are such fantastic movies.
Do you think that because those are not, like, intellectual properties, like those are his stories, that he got to make up everything on his own.
He's
able to go further, and when, like we've said before, once you start playing in somebody else's sandbox, you got to kind of play by their rules. And I kind of feel like that's what this was.
This might have been too big for him. This is a huge undertaking.
I kind of figured the bombers were just slow because historically the TIE fighters and the X-wings were based off of actual aircraft, and bombers historically have always been really slow. Yeah. So
that's a good point.
I kind of thought it was just like, well, they're really slow because they have such a massive payload that they don't need to be fast.
This part doesn't,
to be there.
Just to clarify, this part doesn't ruin the movie for me or anything.
No, I just,
when Blake mentioned it, I just am like, well, you know what? As we go on, it's like, oh, why does this happen? Why would anyone do that? That makes no sense. Well, it's going to pay off here. You'll see. I feel like this movie is full of big moments, lots of big moments, and it kept trying to have too many big moments where I think that I would have liked a little more nuanced and a smarter script that didn't just keep paying off with big moments.
I wonder if, as we get into it, I wonder if he was given a directive where it says everything that JJ did, we
undo
need
it,
to undo it all. And they
I don't know that they would absolutely do that, because I think they still respect JJ, because
obviously he's coming
honestly,
back for nine, right?
And it worked, and people, for the most part, really liked that movie. So I don't feel why
see why they would feel the need to undo what
everything.
He did.
Well, they did.
I think Ryan
Johnson did.
Yeah.
Oh, he came in and JJ like had his perfect trade set laid out. He's like, "You're good to go, man." Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah,
I'm gonna do this. I got this sweet firecracker. Watch this.
What'd you do to my trade?"
Yeah, that's exactly what I think happened. JJ laid this out, and regardless, I know people give it flack for being too close to New Hope, whatever. Right. But he made a very enjoyable movie that I think I've said it before was a necessary evil. Yeah, it had similarities, but it reminded us what we loved about Star Wars. And I thoroughly enjoyed The Force Awakens. I thought it was so fun. It was well written. I think that it had better writers on it. And then Rian Johnson came in, and I think that JJ had answers for a lot of things that would have been answered in this one written it. And I think Rian Johnson's like, nah, not answering that. Nah, don't care about this character. Yeah. And it's like, JJ had those answers. And I think when he's going to come back in 9, he may fix some things.
Oh, they've already, like, if you read some of the interviews now,
yeah,
there's certain things, I mean, certain things that are not going to be answered, but there's certain things that I'm like, they're already kind of like, well.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole From a Certain Point of View thing came up.
Oh.
So it's like, that's probably, I think JJ's going to be like,
yeah,
we'll take
care of
it.
Maybe.
That's my prediction.
Maybe.
He's going to come back in and rein it in as well. But going
so,
forward.
Yeah, so Poe takes out these cannons. And then one of the bombers was able to get through at the last bomber because they've blown up everything. And of course she gets blown up. I thought this was going to be a force thing where she like, so there's like the switch is sitting on top of the thing and she keeps kicking.
I like it. That was a good,
it was a good scene.
Head fake kind of, because you think it's going to be a force, but she's just kicking a thing.
Yeah. But so she stops for a second and closes her eyes and reaches out and then just kicks it again, and then it falls. She hits the button. These little like Mario bombs come out of this bomber and blow up this dreadnought, and it's awesome. Like it's sound in space. It is what it is.
Oh yeah,
we can move past that. Which they don't. But they don't later in the movie.
No, also, but that was also effective.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
see, I didn't take that as being literal as much as I took it as like a dramatic.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, that's. Yeah. I think the sound in the Star Wars movies in space is just something that happens. Like
you have to accept there's explosions in space for Star Wars.
Just like you have to accept that the Duke boys' tires are going to squeal on dirt.
I think that's a real thing. Yeah. I don't know if you know that or not, Tom.
Oh, those are dirt squealers.
Yeah, dirt squealers. They're really expensive, by the way.
So, and then we see Rey, the massive scene at the end of Force Awakens where she's handing Luke the lightsaber. And Luke kind of takes his hood off. He looks at the lightsaber and throws it over his shoulder.
See, I like that.
That's where you know that this is not going to be the movie you expected.
Yeah,
he's closer to Yoda than he is Obi-Wan.
He has become. Which we'll reference later. Mm-hmm. Which was so. It's funny. So people keep talking about. Like you see online, they're like, "Oh, that cameo was so." You know, I'd already seen the movie. I was like, "What cameo were they talking about? Right. What did I miss?" And I was like, "Oh,
yeah.
I guess that counts. That counts as a cameo.
Yeah,
I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah." So she's trying to like. We know that something has happened in the past between Kylo and Luke. We know that we've seen the temple burning in the flashes of Rey's.
He's not the creepy touch uncle, is he?
Depends. He does make a move to. Never mind.
That's not my lightsaber. That's not,
Oh, Lord.
So,
look, you said payload twice, and I didn't make a Maraca joke.
Yeah.
So, you got to give me something.
Yeah, I was actually, summoning the Maraca.
With the force.
Yeah, that was actually across the room.
Wow.
So, Luke wants nothing to do with her. She basically pulls a Luke from Empire where she just stays and she doesn't like she sits outside of his house. She doesn't move.
She pulls a Doctor Strange.
Kind of.
I mean, we just saw that. So I'm thinking like, oh, I'm just going to sit outside until you're going to train me.
Didn't even cross my mind. I was like, oh, no, it's Luke from Dagobah. And then as Luke is inside his little hut.
Well, we get to see him go about his daily routine too.
Yeah.
Where
right.
He milks that weird.
But that was
he's
so,
a farmer.
Yeah.
I could have lived without him.
Oh, no.
I thought that was funny.
That was one of those things where it's like, ugh. Oh, he's a farmer.
I guess that's
I mean, he
fine.
Should I did, remember how
I
to be a farmer.
I did think the way the creature looked at Rey like
it was so weird. Yeah.
I was like, well, that was weird.
So like, is
the
that
the eye contact?
The eye contact.
Drank it, and I'm like, you don't know how to drink without spilling it all.
Yeah,
over
getting all in his beard.
So, like, you're like a one man Renaissance fair. What is happening here?
So is that where blue milk comes from?
That was actually green.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if it was like just off bluish type
No.
Okay.
I thought it was bantha milk.
Yeah.
But didn't we see banthas in
The original trilogy?
Yeah,
but this was a different thing for sure. I just wasn't sure if this was alluding to. So this is green milk. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
And then he does a pretty sweet like he catches some fish, which was pretty awesome.
That was cool when he uses it like a pole vault and then he's way up high and is able to stick a fit. Like, those moments are cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's it's the cool Luke
cool
I want to see.
Yeah, that Luke. Yeah. We also see his TIE fighter.
Or his X-Wing.
His X-Wing, rather. It buried it. Sorry.
Yeah,
bro.
Buried in the. You can sort of see the silhouette.
Blake and I both got all cringy.
That's just the 101 stuff.
Yeah,
there,
I know.
Man. Sorry. You could see it in the water. And I was like, well, that's coming back. Like, that's going to be a thing we're going to see later.
Nope.
That is what they call a red herring.
It was. And it worked. Like, it worked effectively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we'll get later. And we'll, anyway. Yeah.
Time to go join the battle.
Yep.
It's there.
Right. Yeah. So Luke is basically, you know, shunning her for the most part. And then all of a sudden, his door gets blown in. And I was like, oh, man, Rey just force pushed that door in. And then here comes Chewie.
Yeah.
And comes to the door. And he's like, he's, you know, he's kind of excited to see his friend. And then he realizes if you're here and you're here and you're on the Falcon, where's Han?
Yeah.
And but like, I feel like he would have known. Like, I feel like he would have known that Han had died.
Well, he's closed himself off from the Force.
I guess he's closed off from the Force, so he wouldn't. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. I mean, the whole reason why he says, I came here to die, I'm not ever going to train another student, is because of what happened with Kylo Ren.
Right.
He is, something so catastrophic has happened in those flashes that, you know, that we're going to find out about, that he has completely just given up.
Like, he's gone.
Which is huge for this hero of the original trilogy.
Yeah, even I think even in the extent, like, the stuff that doesn't really count anymore, like, there's a story where he goes dark, but there's all kinds of stories of him as a Jedi.
Yeah.
And like, those are, I think in the Marvel comic, they're going to start like his story between Jedi and where we are now.
I hope so.
I think. I know that he's on the cover of a bunch of issues by himself. So I assume they're going to do that.
It's just tutorials on how to milk aliens.
Milk aliens and then look creepy while you're drinking.
Well,
and how to how to grow a beard. That's the extent of those comics.
He's so good at milking things, they're going to make him a Disney CEO.
Did not go the direction he thought it was going to go.
You put that maraca down.
That was a misdirect.
Well,
so now we flash back to Leia. Which, by the way,
it is tough.
Well, it is tough. They're gonna have to do a time jump.
Probably.
Like, there has to be a time jump between.
I think there's gonna be a time jump just because J.J. Abrams is like, what do I do now?
Right. Yeah. True. Talk about like stacking the deck against you. I mean, there you had very obvious choices that we're gonna get into. And just like, what are you? Why would you set yourself up for that?
I
don't get it.
Now we know why Rian Johnson didn't want to take episode 9.
I'm not writing this movie.
It's like, there's a lot of things in this movie where it's like, it gives you what you want, and then it's like, oh, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is this scene was one of the biggest problems I had with this movie. So she's pretty much dressing down Poe because he has cost her. They have cost the Resistance half of their, if not more than their fleet.
And they're down to like, next to nothing.
Yeah. 300 or 400 people on three different big ships is what they say.
Right.
I think it's 300.
Here's my problem with the Resistance at this point. If there's that few people in the Resistance, you got to ask yourself, is the Empire doing an okay job?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've got the entire galaxy and you've got 300 people who aren't happy, maybe the roads are paved and the trains are running on time. Like, maybe they're not so bad.
Yeah, and they keep losing. Like, as we go further, we realize even their allies are like, nah,
their losses.
I'm good.
Yeah,
like I don't want nothing to do with this.
Well, it's because
there's no hope.
And I think that's part of the whole, you know, why they wanted to bring Luke back is to show that like we do have strength,
right?
And if we get him, there's a figurehead that we could.
And his stories are galaxy wide of the greatest Jedi ever.
Mm-hmm.
So she's dressing down Poe.
And yet there's only 300 people left.
Now, no, I agree with you.
Like,
no, totally.
Like,
I'm with you.
So how popular are these stories really?
It's almost like we're going to need a new trilogy of young kids that are going to become the new Resistance and Jedis.
Is that what you think it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was going to be Obi-Wan. I thought it was going to be a trilogy.
No,
I thought the Rian Johnson trilogy.
It has nothing to do with any existing
oh, it's
character.
All different stuff. They even said in another corner of the galaxy.
It's a galaxy. Yeah.
That's true.
And
that's
honestly, so far, we've been in a pretty tight space.
Yes, that is correct.
The kid that you see in this who has her ring or whatever is the kid from Looper, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, is he?
Is that right?
I didn't notice that. Yeah.
How old? Well, wait. How old would he have been in Looper?
He was only like 6 or 7.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, I guess that could be right. Yeah. Yeah. How old, wait, what year did that come out?
2012.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was way older than that, but all right.
No.
This is Joseph Gordon-Levitt's face. Looks way older than that.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it was Bruce Willis.
That's right. Yeah.
So she's dressing him down, and then all of a sudden the First Order shows up, and they're just like, they light-speeded out of there. They got away. Now we find out that the First Order can track at light speed. They're just like, well,
how convenient.
I got nothing. I have no idea how to stop that. So Finn also has been under sedation, I guess.
He was pretty hurt in the last. Yeah.
He was pretty the thing they don't, you know, a Batka tank that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Or they've made up a new one.
Yeah.
So he shows up and he's wearing that stupid.
I like this comedy. Like, so the things that worked for me, Luke throwing the lightsaber, understated, just a funny, liked it. The milking the thing, I liked it. Him walking out just with the little water things, I like that. Because there's not a bunch of like jokey joke back and forth jokes. It's just like.
So to me, the Star Wars jokes that work are the ones that are not spoken.
That's what I mean.
Are the physical comedy where like the
that's what worked
thing.
For me. Yeah, that's what worked
I
for me.
I think the verbal jokes. Yeah. Did not
unless they're
me.
Well written, and if you're Han Solo, like in the original trilogy, remember he was the one responsible for a lot of the humor.
But his jokes weren't. Jokes.
Well, I know they weren't jokes.
He was
jokes.
Fumbling.
Yeah. His jokes were organic.
Yes,
and a lot of these jokes. That's that opening scene didn't feel organic to
right.
me. No. But I didn't think about that. It is kind of similar to the scene in Force Awakens.
I honestly, that's where I went. Was yeah. like,
and well, I did not think of that either. And like that makes me feel a little better about it.
Because
yeah,
he was like
oh, okay, he did
so
kind of do that.
How do we do this? Do you talk to me? I talk to you.
Right. I think what I didn't like about it is the whole like I'm holding four. Like we've never seen a phone in this world,
right? Right.
And so like that just felt
right.
No, it felt anachronistic, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like it just didn't feel like of that world.
Yeah. Yes,
it wasn't even the tone so much is. The
jokes felt
the verbiage itself didn't feel like it felt too contemporary and earthbound.
I also I liked that it helped sort of like even though he's a little mustache twirly, I thought it was good to give Hux like
something.
More resonance as a villain because he just sort of was like a periphery villain.
Well,
who
he was
just
also
like
he was like
whined
he was like
in the first movie.
He was like the ignorant like or the. Jerky stepbrother.
Yeah, it was just like
that's. He was always like, "I did it better than you, sucker."
Yeah, and I thought it was better to see him just like kind of go all full sniveling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, just go all in on this.
Because I feel like the guys who were always working under the Sith Lords, Tarkin and anybody else, never challenged. And when they did, like, they would one guy would challenge, and then nobody else. Yeah,
right.
And nobody else would do it. He is constantly, throughout The Force Awakens and throughout most of this until a certain point, is constantly like nipping at his heels.
Yes.
For second in command. And see, to me, that makes total sense. That makes more sense than somebody challenging Vader because when we meet Vader in A New Hope, he's established.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, why would you make a run at him? Where in this setting, it makes perfect sense that he would make a run at Kylo Ren because he's not solidified his power.
No.
Nope.
Yeah. And so. This is when you do make a run.
Right. Yeah. And I like it. I like their back and forth.
This is when he solidifies his power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's exactly yeah. right.
As it turns out.
I liked it. Throughout The Force Awakens and in this one, I do like how he keeps trying to kind of undermine Kylo Ren and be like, this kid doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I can do all, you know, I really like those
right.
interactions.
I've got my resume together.
Yeah.
Would you care to read it?
Yeah.
No? Okay.
I sent you a LinkedIn request.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
No? Okay.
Snoke? Is that?
We see Snoke again. This was another joke that I did enjoy where she's just like, Snoke is calling for you. He's like, perfect. I'll take it in my chambers. And he walks away and then into the hologram and he just like stops and,
he slams him down on the ground.
Yeah. Huh? Right. So he's using the force from where we don't know where we know where he is later, but like the distance between those two, we don't really know.
And I think this is where we see Kylo for the first time, and he's got that stupid mask on. And I did like the line where he's like, take that off. Like, you are not.
Take that ridiculous.
Yeah, you don't. You haven't earned that yet. And then he never wears the mask again. Like, that's the last time we see
can't.
Him. Yeah, that's true. He smashes, day, yeah, he smashes yeah. it. And he kind of says, so we find out that.
You know that dude's got a backup.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Emo's got a backup.
Yeah. But the whole thing is with this scene is it's
he's
like.
He's probably got one where his hair can drape across his face.
He's got one for My Chemical Romance concerts. I love those guys.
But it's like this scene is Snoke telling him that he thought he had so much potential and that he cannot overstate his disappointment enough. And
right.
basically saying that he failed by not taking them out, by letting Starkiller get destroyed.
He's like, I killed my father. What more do you want? He's like, that's not enough.
And
like,
not taking out Rey and all them back in the last movie.
Yeah, he's like, you lost to a girl that has never used the Force before. Ever. And you lost.
Yeah.
And I do like, so there was all kinds of talk about his scar.
Yeah.
And so.
They moved it.
Did they move it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From okay.
It, but. What and Rian Johnson's explanation was that it looked dumb.
Well,
I was like, all right.
There's another one, JJ.
if you look at it, the placement, it looks
Where was
weird.
It originally?
It was kind of like.
By his nose.
Like over his nose. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And now it's like down his
eye. Yeah, it's more like in an evil place.
Yeah.
And not like just like, oh, you okay?
Yeah,
you're
all
right. At least they owned it instead of trying to
with the Force.
He said it just kind of looked dumb.
Fair enough. So Snoke is basically saying, you're not good enough. You'll never be as good as your grandfather. Mm-hmm. And this kind of sets Kylo off. So he goes, gets in the elevator. This is where he smashes his helmet. Again, a scene similar to The Force Awakens.
We already saw this scene, so that's why I'm like, oh, I didn't want that scene again. That got so many laughs, which felt more organic, and I really loved it in The Force Awakens. And then you see the two people looking at him after smashing the helmet.
Walk away.
And they're like, and it's like, yeah, we saw that already. We don't need that again just because it got laughs before.
But Kylo's just a massive HR nightmare.
Yeah. Yep. Totally.
Like, just like, oh, God. Yeah.
He's a petulant
child. He did it again.
Yeah.
So this is where he...
At least he's not whipping it out.
That's true.
It's true. Oh.
That's a good point. HR's like,
well that we know of. I bet he has a button under his desk.
He's a little loose and free with that lightsaber.
Yeah. So,
Laser sword. It's not a lightsaber.
So this is where... So Kylo gathers his fleet and is going like he is on a mission.
This guy? Badass pilot.
Oh yeah!
You saw the way he was flying. That it's some kind of TIE fighter, but like a special, sleek, modified, cool looking one.
Like a TIE interceptor or something.
Yeah, it looked. I hadn't seen that model before, but I mean, he is spinning around and shooting things and going in between small places and blowing up stuff. Like, dude,
somebody just saw Fast and Furious.
Yeah, that badass pilot,
Ryan Johnson.
He could have been like Anakin above Naboo, like yippee. Let's try. What does he say? Let's try barrel rolls. Those always work. Or let's try spins. Those always work.
Yikes!
Jake God, Lloyd, are
so,
you? Are
so
you here?
Bad. It was so bad.
And he hasn't aged a day.
No. Yeah. Well, that's like, I'm losing his name
is
now.
He still in the loony bin?
Yeah, he's Jake put Lloyd. Away right now. Yeah.
Still?
Yeah. Well, he just recently got into some trouble.
Did he do something again?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 6 or 8
That was a few
ago.
Years ago, okay. But now he's back in.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Child
actors. I think they just go and lock him up right when movies come out, like right when a new Star Wars movie, which has got to suck for him because there's one a year for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, right.
But he's like Haley Joel Osment, who has not aged a day.
Haley Joel Osment?
Yeah, he still, his face looks the exact same.
Have you
same.
Seen Haley Joel Osment?
He looks like... Somebody
looks
like got somebody. Inside Haley Joel.
Oh well, yeah, and I love the stuff.
It looks like somebody's
around in
like
a robot.
It looks like somebody's wearing a Haley Joel Osment suit.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I love the stuff he's doing now. He's doing a lot of funny stuff, and he's in Future Man, which is great. I really like him. I'm just saying he has such a youthful face, even if he has gained weight. Like his face looks just like the kid from The Sixth Sense. It's
he's
just
his
funny.
Generation's cousin Oliver.
Yeah.
For you.
There you go. Man.
Robbie Reese. Is that his name?
He's a jinx.
Womp womp. Anyway. We keep bouncing back to the island.
So this is the scene that you had a big problem with, right?
Apparently, yeah, a lot of people did. Right. So they basically destroy this fleet. The First Order is on the Resistance constantly.
And you see Kylo Ren's hesitation because he senses Leia's on the ship.
And he doesn't do it.
And he has his finger on the trigger and he ends up not doing it.
Right.
And then his two TIE fighters behind him come and blow
come
up the
and
ship.
Blow up the yeah. ship. So they end up, so Poe is constantly, so Laura Dern, this is where Laura Dern is introduced.
And Admiral Ackbar bites the dust.
Yeah.
Well, Ackbar's gone.
Well, we're not even talking about the biggest problem that happens before
no.
she's introduced.
So they, that's true.
This is
so
the problem.
They blow up this part of the ship. And
Leia's out to Leia's die in space.
And you know what? And
I
thought,
she's Yondu. She's gone.
Like,
right?
Oh my God, they're going to end it like this.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what?
I would have taken it.
I would have taken it. Yep. Like, she dies on the bridge. Like, that's
fighting.
She goes down with the ship. And it's one of those things where, like, you know it's coming, right?
But I also
like,
knew that the next movie was supposed to be kind of, she was the featured.
Oh, is
performer.
That right?
Oh, yeah.
Supposed to be, but she can't, though.
Well, no, she can't. But and, that's and, why I knew she wasn't dead here.
Okay.
Because I'm like, she's supposed to be in the next movie.
But I mean, like, what I think what Dan's saying is
when
like,
they made this movie,
yeah.
while they were
she
making
was gonna
this,
be
she
in the
was
next
gonna
one.
Be
well, they had
filmed it. And they said that they didn't change anything because of her death.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
they left it
so
the
I'm
it
like, well,
oh, okay.
you know, they have this, you know, apparent death scene.
Right. So I did not know that. So no, I figured this was a CG way to get her out of the movie.
Yeah.
yeah no.
Because
and
they,
it is
I
very
mean,
CG.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It
this is Tarkin CG. You know what I mean? This is.
I mean,
her face is full CG in this.
Well, it's the same. It's the same kind of CG they did for Star-Lord when Star-Lord was in space. Like it was the same style of.
I'm just saying it's full. This could have been an added. Like
they, oh, I see.
I read that this is this VFX was done before
yeah.
she passed away.
I'm not
yeah.
arguing that. I'm saying that like just when you're in, who knows what they're gonna do. Like Joe and I just thought we were like this is gonna be it, and it was CG, so it could have been done without her if they did that. It was just a thought. I'm not saying okay. trying to argue it was
and
the, or wasn't.
And then she flew.
Yeah.
This was the worst part of this movie.
I've never seen
I
something look
it
so
was
ridiculous.
Terrible.
It was awful.
I can't believe that got through like any test screenings with people.
Oh
like,
my God.
And then like, maybe we should rethink this.
It's laughable. It is that bad. I looked around and was like, what the hell was that?
They think they left it in because of her.
But it I wasn't. It was,
why?
It was not badass. It was terrible.
Well, but I think they wanted to honor her performance, and I think they wanted to give her some sort of like. I think they were heading into a direction where we're going to see more force powers from
yeah.
her. And I think they were like, you know what? We can't. She would be probably livid if we took this out. I think there's
I
a
think
reason
there was,
why
I,
it's in there.
I
think I don't
there
think
was a different way to do it. Yeah. I think maybe.
I don't think they could do that.
That probably is true.
Yeah.
Or maybe throw up.
But it's all
force,
done CG. Why, or some, why just, couldn't they do it so differently?
Well, because it still does, it doesn't alter the rest of
this,
what
does
happens
not.
After it.
This looked like Poochie returning to his home planet.
Yeah, it was.
It was not very bad. Good.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was.
I think this is this movie's Spider-Man dance scene.
Yeah. I could agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you walk out during this scene, you come back, you're like, hey, what happened?
I think this is the scene where the people that have turned on this movie, I think this is the scene that did it for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And then everything else would have been nitpicks, fun things to mull over. Should he have done that? Should he have not yeah. done that? But
should have never made her fly through space.
But when she flies through space looking like clip art.
I can even go with hand moving, eyes open, somebody comes out to get her.
Kylo saves her or something, you know?
I don't think Kylo can save her. Like, they are saving...
That's too big of a redemption.
That's too
I
big
gotcha,
of a redemption.
Okay.
They're saving that quote-unquote redemption
he almost
later.
Saves her by not blowing her up, though.
No,
so
he just chooses not to kill her. That's not really
I know, but,
saving her.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he
yeah.
chose not to. So I don't know anything. I just feel like there was a better option to still save her from it and not...
I think
it
was not the greatest of choices. We'll put it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And I know it's an awful thing to say, but when the actress is already dead... I think you just let the character die at this point, and you let her death be the rallying cry for the resistance.
For Luke
forward.
To come back.
And for Luke to
yeah.
come back,
like
you let it drive
your
the story.
Because your last family member is gone.
I really think the goal here was to they had three major characters mm-hmm. still involved. They were going to shed one per
one,
movie.
One, two,
yeah.
three, exactly.
And so I think they should have shed
Han.
They should have shed Leia this movie.
Yeah.
And then given all of Leia's stuff to Luke.
To Luke. Well,
well, and that's why I think the stuff that she did afterwards, I think they wanted that to be in the movie.
Right.
The work that she put in
sure.
afterwards. I yeah. think those
that
scenes
makes complete sense,
that they had afterwards, I think they wanted it in the movie. They wanted the scene with her and Luke.
Yeah.
I think they wanted the scene where she comes in wearing all white and looking like she's got the buns.
Yep.
And she's holding her blaster from like the A New Hope.
Yeah.
I think they wanted that sort of like, you know, mirror scene in the movie. Mm-hmm. I think they wanted those scenes. And so they were like, well, we could kill her off here.
Or we can keep going.
Or keep going.
What I would have done, just offhand, I would have done the entire movie minus this floating thing, save her a different way, do the entire movie, and then use that her dead in space scene, have her on an escape pod, just CG them getting to an escape pod or something, and then have her blown up and die at the end of the movie. Like, you could still have all her parts mm-hmm. and then kill her off at the end and send her off in a dramatic, like, fighting and a big battle or whatnot. I think it was cool she was in the movie, but I would have sacrificed her and moved forward in a different way.
I have a feeling that some of Rian Johnson specifically probably thought it was going to be disrespectful to cut
that's exactly what I thought.
And that film was done before she passed away.
And she worked closely with him on the script.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I also think he doesn't want to like. She added a lot. He said he worked with her and they storyboarded and workshopped a lot of the script.
Episode 9 is not gonna suffer because they can do a 3-year time jump.
Yeah,
and she can die in that 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and you're good to go. You know what I mean? Like her dying could also do exactly what we're saying. Is rally the troops again.
I think that sucks. I think that she should have died in her last role and seen her. If the next movie starts 3 years later and she's just dead off screen,
what's going to happen.
Yeah. I think that's really I think that's distasteful.
I don't know how you, I mean, I don't know what else you do. I don't know how you leave her alive and say, but we're not going to have her around.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
It's not
Paul Walker.
No.
Yeah.
But they,
sort of.
But they did this to themselves. Yeah. They put themselves in this predicament. That's mm-hmm. the point we're getting to.
So
she's passed out immediately after that, and
they take her.
I will say, at the end of this movie, I thought the Wiz Khalifa song was very touching.
Did you? It was nice.
Yeah, family.
Yeah,
that's what it was just called. we're back on the island, and Rey is constantly trying to talk Luke, and finally Luke agrees. He was like, "Fine, I'll give you 3 lessons. That's it. Then you gotta go." And she was like, "Sweet."
What
like,
makes him agree? Does she see the dark thing and have a force moment? And
no, she sees that. That's the first lesson. Is like he's
what
like
makes
sit
him,
here. I don't remember
she,
what
he watches it. Well, she's practicing with her.
Oh,
staff.
That's right. With the light. Yeah, and then she switches
then
to the
like,
lightsaber.
Screw this.
Yeah,
I got that lightsaber. I got it again. I had to go down the mountain to get it
right.
again. I'm gonna practice with that.
And she does. And she's she's good.
She pisses off those keepers again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
The, I like like that. That those that, jokes were funny.
Yeah, yeah that
yeah.
was
yeah. and Porgs. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I didn't know if Porgs would work. Porgs worked for me.
So, do you know the story about the Porgs?
Well, when two Porgs love each other
that's
very
true.
Much.
So, my cousin, Jack, went to that island.
Yeah, like there's puffins everywhere.
There's puffins everywhere.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's, I had no idea. He's like, they look just like those.
So, they're
like, that's
the
puffins. They're the puffins
oh, that's
yeah.
funny.
On that island.
But clearly, they're made
he
to sell merchandise.
He has a picture of him next to that rock.
Yeah.
That Rey cuts
that's
in
awesome.
Half. Yeah.
But it's like, we know they invented him to sell merchandise, and there's a million pop variants, and there's stuffed animals. But still, I think in the movie, their comedic, cute little moments worked.
Like, you know, better than Ewoks, I'll tell you that.
Here's the deal. You know what else was created to sell merchandise? Every other thing in this goddamn
oh, sure.
movie.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, get down off your nerd high
yeah.
horse.
Right, right.
Like, everything in the... There's a reason Lucas was like, but I'd like to retain the rights
yes.
to the toys.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you know, so like... Go yeah. after yeah. yourself, yeah. like you know. So now there's a cool way to do it, and there's a bad way to do it.
Right.
But the whole like they just did that to sell
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
yeah. They made
yes.
a movie to sell tickets.
Guess what? They made the movie to sell things.
Right.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah. I'm not in that boat at all, and I agree. It's a lot of people online say that
it's
stuff.
Like,
and
grow
it's,
up.
Yep. It is. Star Wars The Phantom Menace is a perfect example. I found on eBay for $50 right now a hyperdrive repair kit. That they branded for the Phantom Menace. That was a piece of merchandise. It is a square placard with a couple plastic tools. A hyperdrive repair kit.
You know what I got in Christmas of 1977? So
what
know,
did you get?
A piece of cardboard.
What did it say on the cardboard?
It
thing?
Said, coming soon, Star Wars action figures. And I got a piece of cardboard, and I thought it was the best thing in the world because they did not anticipate
right.
the merchandising potential of this. And which is why like Lucas was like,
you know that?
I want the
that piece of cardboard's worth a lot of money. Now.
I still have it.
That Kenner set,
yeah. And he's like,
okay, I'll tell you what,
if I can have the merchandising rights and the sequels, and they're like, yeah, whatever, man.
You got it, buddy.
Amazing. What a savvy businessman, though, seriously, that he
funded
owned
everything
that
after that.
By himself the entire time and then sold it for $4 billion. Like, that is a great story.
If you have those original Kenner toys with the backers, you're doing all right.
Yeah. I don't have the backers.
Even without the backers.
They're in immaculate condition, but they did come out.
That's fine. Like, ones that are out are still.
And I said this when I worked at the comic book store, when people would come in like, oh, I should have kept all my toys. And I'm like, if everybody had kept all their toys on the cards, nobody would want those toys.
Nope.
Because reason people want those toys is because you took them off the cards and you played with them, and they're an integral part of your childhood.
Yep.
Yeah. If it's just something on a shelf that you couldn't touch, it's no different than your mother's Hummel collection. You right. wouldn't care.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point. I still wish I would have kept them on the cards, though. That's
hindsight.
So this is when Finn stumbles upon Rose. And they come up with this whole side plot.
I hate this relationship with a passion.
Love Rose.
I like Rose.
Great.
Yeah, I like.
She's great.
She was one of my favorite parts of the
great.
Movie.
I like Rose, the forced relationship.
The forced relationship
no
between
pun intended.
Her and Finn. I thought was awful because they've been hinting at
Ray and Finn
for an entire movie, and then throughout this entire movie,
this is Johnson again going, "Oh, you thought that Ray and Finn were going
to
get together?"
And there's we'll get to, but I don't care.
He's in the friend zone, man.
I thought Finn and Poe were going to get together.
That's what I thought too.
That's too obvious, though. She should be with Poe because he's the hot shot.
No.
I thought Finn and Poe were going to get together.
Oh,
I did not misspeak.
A lot of people are shipping that.
Yeah.
Oh.
At the very end of this movie, there's a scene where Finn is sitting next to Rose and they're talking, and Ray is looking at them off in the distance, and I was just like, I don't think
it's not dead in the water.
I don't think he was in the friend zone. No. I think,
but I mean, they're the only ones. Like, so Poe hadn't met at that point, and I don't want to get them too far ahead, but it's like they're friends and they saw each other after a big dramatic thing, and like, I'm just saying they're friends. I didn't see it. They didn't give a big kiss.
I think they're setting up Ray and Kylo.
Absolutely.
They are now. Like, now that, okay, so we're just going to tell you right now, they're not related. Well,
we don't know that.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. You think he was messing with her?
I don't know. I'm just saying, never trust
JJ,
a
Sith
Lord. Yeah.
Ask JJ what he thinks.
Oh.
I'm just saying the only person, even watching them, well, and I said it to you, Kevin, after the movie, I was like, the only person that said that is what we would refer to in literature as an unreliable narrator.
That's true.
Yeah. If that's true, I will say I love it.
Yeah.
And I think even if Ryan Johnson, I really think Ryan Johnson meant for that to be true.
Right.
It's what JJ thinks is true.
Now we're going to find out in episode 9 that, she's a Palpatine.
Ryan Johnson's explanation to why is because at that moment for her and similar. So he's taking a beat from Empire Strikes Back where Luke finds out that Vader's his father. Sorry about that.
Spoilers.
Oh, my gosh. I was waiting.
It's in our opening theme.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
But he wanted Ray to hear the absolute worst thing at that moment.
I can
and
see
so
that.
From a dramatic beat, he was like, the absolute worst thing for her to hear is that in all of this and all this yearning and all this hope, that
she's a nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah. And I'd buy that he could be manipulating her.
Yeah.
If that happens, I'll be fine with it.
Blake, I don't know. Is the Force usually something that is hereditary?
Usually in previous canon, it has been.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be because they find people with Force. It's not like just one lineage.
There's Force mudbloods.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Force mudbloods.
Well, and we see that. I mean, I think
we also see
right. Like, there's a point.
We're going to get there.
And it's a very strong point because it was like, it is so subtle, but.
It was very subtle. And it was very, that scene was, I thought was fantastic. Like, that's a very subtle scene. It was very good.
So people love Finn, and we have to give Finn something to do for the next 45 minutes. So this is where we go.
So we give him a side quest with Rose.
The whole point is they're trying to shut down the hyperspace
tracker. Initially, Finn is bailing. Finn has the tracker.
Which, that was one of my contentions with this, is I thought we had gotten past that in the last movie. And then we're redoing it again this movie.
He's
like,
a hero.
I think he was doing it for Rey.
I understand, but it made it cheapened his arc in the first movie a
but
little
all
bit.
He has, it's one of those things where all he has to do is say,
yeah, and he does it.
No, he does. It's one line. I'm getting out of here because I don't want Ray to be here. That's it.
This movie suffers from that several times. We've talked about this before, things where if people just talked, it would eliminate all conflict. And this movie is a terrible
CW
offender.
Problem.
Yeah, it's a terrible offender.
It's a lost problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is ironic given that they don't have a Lost guy on it.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
There like, isn't they, one.
But yeah, it's just the problem is if they talk to each other in this movie, we
it's all it would have taken
be a lot yeah. of it's, different it's, things. It's, to be it's
one little conversation where he's like, "Hey, Ray's on her way here. The First Order's on her, on their way here. I don't want her to get caught by the First Order.
Yeah.
Can I go now, please?" Like so, that's.
But she got to use her taser.
She did yeah. get to Which use her
pretty,
taser. Yeah, that was
like,
pretty cool.
And she apparently was using it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like that line. Funny like, moment. I've tased four people off this trying to get out of this thing.
Yeah, I like her. She's cute. I mean, I think she's a good addition to this.
Yeah. yeah. And
did you read anything about the actress behind her?
No.
About how she yeah. didn't even tell her family she was in Star Wars?
No.
Is that
she,
right?
Yeah. She, filmed it. And and told them she was in a different place or whatever and didn't tell
and
them
and they found out when it opened
when it opened but when it was announced that she was a character.
Oh right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fun.
It's
that's
cool. Have you seen her on the red carpet breaking down in tears? She's, it's just adorable because it's like she's so grateful for being in this and never would have thought about it. It's cool.
That's cool.
So they're trying to shut down the hyperspace thing. Finn eventually tells her and she's like, "What? You can't track through hyperspace." And they have their cutesy little like saying the same things at the same time. If we shut down the main blah blah blah. And so they're sent off. Poe is going to buy them time. So
Laura Dern is not. So I thought Laura Dern was a traitor, like the entire time, because she does not listen to Poe.
They definitely set it up to.
Yeah, that's where I thought. Yeah, they were going.
Her hair should have been red.
Yeah, but I also, and I think another reason why they set this up is because it gives Leia some
gravitas,
a bigger beat later on.
Yes,
because the whole time we're thinking, man, Laura Dern, no
bad
trust
news,
her.
Bad news bears.
Especially at a certain point, we're like, no,
yeah, right,
right.
I thought they were setting up Laura Dern to be like, and she can take over the Leia stuff in the third one.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Not
she
so much.
Maybe she should have just told Poe her plan, and then it would have eliminated.
So that's what I'm saying. Like that, it sets up everything.
Everything else,
bad guy.
That's why I thought she was evil because I was like, "Well, it's so ridiculous for her not to say I got a thing going on."
But like, he's your commander. Like he's your X-wing commander, and you're not telling him anything. Like that's
we'll get there when we get there. But it's just another one of those things.
Yeah.
So they can conveniently save.
So
the day.
Finn and Rose lay out their plan to Poe. Poe buys them enough time to get out of there to go to this planet and look for the master code breaker.
Canto Bright.
So
is that what his name was?
No, that's the planet.
Yeah.
So it's a big casino scene, and I really liked it. I liked like the play on the cantina music. Like there was that kind of a music going on.
Play the same song.
I love the visual. Yeah, it's funny. I love the visual aesthetic of it. Big problem here. They park on the beach illegally, so they can get caught and brought to jail. There's parking. They're not sneaking in to a Death Star. They're going to a casino. Go to casino parking. No, they
yeah,
have.
Then you got to pay for the valet, no. Kevin. They don't have money like
they
that.
They have to get caught so they can get thrown
go
in jail.
Go to casino parking.
But seriously, you see ships landing when they're on the beach. You see other ships landing and going to the casino.
I don't think they can get into casino.
Yeah,
parking.
I also don't think you're dealing with two master spies. I think you're dealing with a guy.
I've been
who,
to Monaco and I've seen the casino from afar. You can't just get up there to casino parking.
So you don't
is that
think
what is
they
that what
made
officially
them park?
Called? Is casino parking?
Casino park in Monaco?
Oh, okay.
There's the casino.
No,
there's an Iron
like,
Man 2.
I think you need clearance to be
like,
able to go.
You can't even get close to that.
Like, you got
to
be a rich person to be able to.
Well, I think what Dan's saying is there's two kinds of casinos. There's Monaco, and then there's
Reno.
There's Ameristar.
Ameristar.
Or like an Indian reservation.
You can't even get close to that casino. We were across the street. No, I'm telling you. I got
as close as we could. Yeah. Dan looked longingly from across
the
street.
Oh, yeah, you're like watching it. And you're watching people. People are gathered across the street to watch people go in.
Okay.
Like, you can't get in.
You can't even
pull up to it.
My biggest problem was just that, it's so set up. I mean, they feed it to you right there. Oh, I just saw them walk that way. They're illegally parked, and I said you can't park there, so they can catch them, put them in jail. Mm-hmm. Benicio's conveniently in there to be their new code breaker. It just all seemed, that's another one of those things that seemed like a.
I did not have, like, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying, but that was one of the things I did not have a problem with.
I think you should focus more on how awful Benicio del Toro is.
You think that stutter was his choice?
I think just everything about him, like, he needs to go away now.
It's tough.
Not just in Star Wars, in general.
So I like him as the collector, because it's so weird.
You must not like him as the collector.
I mean, he doesn't pop up enough to really be an issue.
That's fair.
But I just, like...
I also feel like...
You don't like him in the Heineken commercials?
No? I've never seen them. They must be in sports.
Was everyone thinking this was going to be Lando?
Yes.
That they were going to find?
I was going to ask, was this supposed to be Lando?
I mean,
because
I turned
to
the person next to me and I go, oh, Lando.
Yeah,
that's casino been gambler. He's a poker player. Like it should have been Lando.
That's exactly. I thought the
maybe
same thing.
Initially it was, and Billy Dee was like, "Nah, I'm good."
I don't think he could move as fast.
Yeah,
as they would need.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
And I can't imagine Billy Dee Williams saying no. Let's not.
That's
forget.
True.
He just he did an arc on Modern Family.
That's right. Fair. That
he's on board. He loves the
yeah.
Stuff.
He loves the
he's
stuff.
On board.
Yeah.
You think he shows up in Han, in Solo, as like a Flash?
Forward? I mean, he'd be too old. Yeah.
Like flash forward. Oh, he would. I don't mean in like your main story.
I think this would have been the perfect place to work him back into the series.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Have him be one of the people in charge of it and, you know, atone for his sins all these, you know,
missed opportunities. Have him in charge of the casino or have him be the code breaker?
No, not the code breaker. I think
I'd have him bust him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Anyway.
It all feels like too much fan service. It's like it's that wish fulfillment.
Or just some type of man on the inside.
And I get that because even when I was thinking, oh, is this going to be Lando? I was also thinking, but do I want it to be?
Well, see, and I think
should have been Lobot.
I think anytime it veered towards wish fulfillment, I think Rian Johnson was like, nope.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Fine, don't wish fulfill me for 2.5 hours, but give me some wish fulfillment. Like
Don't set up a wish fulfillment and then not. You know,
it's like don't just be the contrarian and take everything away from us.
Don't dry hump me.
Yeah,
you're dry humping me.
Give us something. I think that's the main problem.
People want a wet hump.
Yeah, people as fans are like. every time they set something up, or every time
Dan likes dry humping, that's what we learned.
Every time JJ set something
just
up,
just like a 13-year-old,
to pay off, Rian Johnson said, "No, we're not going to make it."
Yeah.
And I'm okay with him going a different direction. I love being surprised.
But this is even, I feel, Rian Johnson setting it up something and not paying off. I get him saying, like, I don't want to fill in your paint by numbers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you take over a franchise like this, that's kind of the job.
Yeah.
It's a monomyth. Like, it's not supposed to be...
Let's kill everyone off and not follow the...
It's not supposed to be, you know, like, top-notch fair. It's a monomyth. Yeah. It follows certain beats. It's supposed to be a story that has some hope. And, I mean, I guess they do end with some hope, but, like, I just never felt like it had the scope that it thought it had.
Did you think Empire didn't end with hope?
Yes and no.
And I'm not comparing this to Empire. Like,
they had Luke. There was hope.
Yeah, Luke wasn't Luke.
It was Luke. Empire was
it was dire.
Yeah.
It was dire. But
Han was gone.
Like there was
Leia
hope.
Was captured, and
Luke lost his hand.
Yeah,
and
Luke,
his
like
dad,
his whole world collapsed. Like,
this sucks.
So
Lando was a bad guy.
A great philosopher once said, "Empire is a series of downbeats."
It is. That's exactly what it is.
So the whole point of this is so they can go and Rose can convince Finn of how evil people are. Finn is enamored with the money and how great the place is and the drinks and the facade that they put on. But she's like, "Look closer," and you see that they're whipping these animals at the racetrack and they're beating the kids and it's a terrible place. And all these people made this money running guns. Like, this is obviously a very big.
Well, that's
he's trying to push something here to
as,
us.
As Finn, when they free Benicio del Toro and they take off, they realize the ship has been stolen. They're like, "Oh, I can't believe you stole this ship." And the Benicio del Toro's character is like, "Yeah, but I stole it from a guy who's a weapons dealer. Oh, look at this. He sold them TIE fighters.
I like this idea.
This.
I like
and then,
that he
like,
says good guy, bad guy. Those are made up
words.
Well,
then they show X-Wings.
Right.
And like, so they're selling it to everybody. He's like, there's no such thing as a good guy or a bad guy.
Like, I like the idea of that. I like what he was saying because we do have this notion that everyone's good or bad, black or white. And it's just, you know, right down the middle there. And it's like,
you're kind of back to where Han started.
Yeah. That's I think he might be the new Han. Like, I think that's...
Benicio del Toro?
No.
Oh,
I was like,
say,
no, Finn. Jesus Christ.
Oh,
no,
I was
no,
about
no,
to
no,
say,
Finn,
oh my
Finn, God. Now that Finn has been kind of been given this dose of reality, I think Finn is going to go down the path of Han Solo rather than whatever character they thought
he's
he was going to
go
to
down the path of chaotic neutral.
Yes. Very good. Yeah, that's exactly what he is.
So they free all these animals, and I thought it was weird that like they tore up the casino that she wants to punch her fist through, which I thought was a terrible line, and she tears all this stuff up and frees these animals, and then Finn's like, "Well, hey, at least you got to take out this city," and then she takes a saddle off one of them, and she's like, "Now it was worth it."
I
have a problem with
really?
That.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, why did that one thing?
Well, it was just like the last thing. Yeah. Like, it's the last thing she was able to do was free these creatures.
She had just seen Blackfish.
So, you know what's funny is that, like, I told Ellie, I go, you know, like Force Awakens was like a really comfortable vintage t-shirt. You put it on, you're like, it felt right and it felt good. Mm-hmm. I go, and this one, I think for a lot of people, they're going to put it on and it's just really scratchy. And I think this movie is really scratchy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think it's better on a second viewing.
Oh, I saw it twice.
Like that t-shirt. You know. Where like you get that first where like, whoa. You get, I don't really it's kind of tight, it's kind of uncomfortable.
I will say overall, I really enjoyed this movie.
I fluctuate between a 7 and an 8. Like it, between somewhere, it's like a 7.5 is kind of where I am on this movie.
I actually enjoyed the movie. I just see a lot of problems with it. Mm-hmm. It's enjoyable. You can, I mean, we like bad movies. I'm not saying it's bad, but we like, you can
There's
enjoy.
A difference between
but, you
liking,
know, here's,
you know.
Here's the thing. Were these movies really as good as we make them out to be? Like, I mean, we saw them when we were kids, and we have deep love and nostalgia for them. But if you stumbled across Star Wars at 40, would you give a crap?
That's a good point. That's a good question.
And I think the answer is no.
If you rewatch them on any regular basis, like I do.
Do you have the despecialized editions?
Yes, of course.
Of course he does.
Yeah, right.
Have
right.
you met Dan? Yes, Dan, Joe, Dan.
Yeah, so if you rewatch them, I mean, Star Wars is also, there's this massive sea change behind the whole experience and what it did to movies.
Right.
Empire is still really outstanding.
Yeah.
Especially when you come right off of the original. And Return of the Jedi is always kind of a bitter pill to swallow. It's like, it's not great, but I mean,
if you see Jedi when you're a kid, you love it.
It was amazing.
And then when you as an adult, you're like, maybe it's not as good as I remember.
And now I watch it now, it's like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, he's given us a movie with some really good stuff and some stuff that really makes us kind of scratch
questionable
our head.
Stuff. Yeah.
And isn't that really the ultimate tribute to this franchise?
It kind of is. Like, that's very true.
Isn't that exactly what most Star Wars movies
but that's also
are?
That's also the thing is, like, this is the middle part of a trilogy.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a payoff next year. Is that right? No.
Two years. It's, like, trilogy, standalone trilogy.
So
Abrams
Han Solo is next
just
year.
Presented his story ideas to Iger and Kathleen Kennedy on Friday.
Okay. Well, so we've got some time then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's where Lando shows up, is in... Not Jedi.
They're gonna need somebody from the original series.
Yeah, there's nobody left.
And there's nobody left.
But I got Chewie.
Well,
but that doesn't really
count.
They're
gonna need a human.
Yeah, that Chewie's
so
not a human.
No, he's
literally not a human. I mean, I guess technically none of them are human,
right?
But you know what I'm saying.
I agree.
So Benicio lands with the stolen ship, and he's about to go take them to try to disable the hyperdrive tracker. Do we want to stop this episode here? And then
I think this is a good place to, like, in case you can't tell, you got a two-parter on your hands,
dude.
People. So let's put a pin in it. And,
okay.
You have noisy pins.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you putting that pin into?
What? Can't tell you that.
That sort of noise. You're like Steve-O. I don't even know where that pin's going.
Don't ask.
We will take a brief pause. And while we pause, people can first off tell everybody where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
I'm Blake Fail. You can find me at Epic Fail on Twitter.
And this is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers or at our website, RealSpoilers.com or DirtyPirateHookers.com.
Do you think we need to get Dirty Space Pirate Hookers?
Oh, well, you better get it before this airs.
I feel like we almost feel like we need it.
So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode will be Star Wars The Last Jedi Part 2. You've been warned.
Everyone told me not to stroll on that beach. Said seagulls gonna come, poke me in the coconut. And they did. And they did. Let me go and lie. Nothing I could do but yell when these birds attacked me. When I tried to run, I fell, and then these kids started laughing.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.